Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Kuf Aleph, and we're holding at the very, very top of the Amud with a brand new Mishnah. Kuf Aleph is 101. And the Gemara says, Ein Adoyma Mishashoyna Mishnosoy Tirosoy Meipomim Meipomim V'echad. Learning 101 is special. So we're going to start with the Mishnah. Ha'adela Shebimukta V'chadokim Shebepirtza Umachtzolois Ein Yalin Behen Elim Kain Gevoyim Min Ha'aret. What the Gemara is telling us is a person has a Mukta. Mukta means, Rashi says, Rechova Sha'achoyre Habatim. In back of his home, he has, let's say, a shack, he has a hut, some sort of building in which he uses it for long term storage. Puts away, for instance, all of his Pesach Kalim, and he only opens it up once a year. The word mukta over here is not in the classic sense of mukta, that something is mukta. It just means that he's normally, somebody please mute yourself because there's a lot of background noise. The word mukta over here means that typically the person is makta dato mimena. He normally doesn't think about that. He doesn't normally think about the items in that shed, in that place, because he only uses it very, very infrequently. It is so infrequent that he doesn't even have a proper door. But rather, what he does is either he has a thing that looks like a door, but doesn't have hinges, doesn't have pivots, but rather, every time he wants to close up that the door to the entranceway, to that muktzah, to that long-term storage, he takes a very large door-looking board and he just squeezes it into the frame and puts it that way. And whenever he wants to go and enter into it, he just pulls the door off. And Rashi says, our Mishnah is talking about two cases. One case where he takes the whole door and he just puts it down on the floor because it's not at all connected to with hinges or anything like that to the doorpost. Or Rashi says it can also be a case, like we'll see in the Gemara, that it's tluya. Tluya means that it's hanging from the top of the lintel over the door, but it's schlepping on the ground. And therefore, every time he wants to go and close up that ear space, he goes and takes the door, and he squeezes it in, and he pushes it into the frame, and, oh, I closed up the door. And every time he wants to open it, he goes and schleps it out. So our Mishnah tells us that type of Dela Shema Muktzah, which is not your normal type of door in terms of what we think of classically as a door that is attached to the frame. V'chadokim Shema Pirtzah. Chadokim means a branches full of thorns that you have put together into like a bundle, and you push that into the Pirtzah again into that same hole, that same ear space. U'machtzolos, if you have mats made of reeds. All of these three are basically synonymous. We're talking about cases that you take the delis, the chadokim, or the machtolis, and you squeeze it into the door frame. It's not a normal, proper door the way we think. Ein Yalim Behen, you cannot do this on Shabbos. You cannot squeeze it into the door frame on Shabbos. Why can't you go and squeeze it into the door frame? Because, as we'll see in Met Shimon de Gemara, this is mechse kiboine. It looks like you're making a binyan. Meaning that until now, this was an open space in the wall of that shed, of that muktzah. And now you're squeezing it in, you're completing the construction, if you will, of that side of the house, of that shed. And therefore you're not going to do it. Elim ken gevoyim min ha'aretz. Unless, if and when this delis is hanging by a chain of some sort from the lintel, it doesn't drag on the ground, but rather it is lifted from the ground. Then it shows that this is a proper door, and therefore you're allowed to go and close it up on Shabbos. If you look just quickly at the Rashi, at the very top of the Yom HaDelah Shebemukta, Rechov HaShachori HaBatim, this is your shed that you use for long-term storage in back of your house. Why are we talking about it? You don't usually use it on a frequent basis. Vein Balabais Choshisho Lassos LaDelas Tluya Kiroi Ukvua. And the Balabas, since he only uses it once a year, twice a year, he doesn't bother going and making it with a real proper classic door. El is a kufa kenegra pesach, rather he just stands up this board looking door or door looking board and he just squeezes it in vertically into the door frame. And when he wants to open it up, he takes out the door and then he puts it down on the ground. Some of them are tuluyois. They actually hang from on top of the doorpost, meaning from the lintel. But they're not hanging in mid-air. They're not standing in mid-air, but rather they schlep on the ground. And again, the art scroll has a picture. I assume you have a picture in your Gemara. Yep. Ed is showing everybody the picture where you have the door, which is held up by that hook over the lintel. Shkoyach. Anyway, so what's the problem? Next Rashi, in the Alan Bob is Shabbos, Bishim the Ovid Binyan. He's making a Binyan. And therefore, people look at the end of the Rashi. He also says, Ta'ina Kvua Sham Merse Kiboina. Looks like Binyan. And that's why it's prohibited to go and close up that airspace on Shabbos. So, bottom line is, we have in our Mishnah two cases, the way Rashi learns. Either that the door is totally disconnected, and every time you want to fill up the airspace, you have to go and take it from the floor and push it and squeeze it into the frame. Or it's talking about the fact that it is tied, it's toluy, it's hanging from the lintel with a chain of some sort. But again, it's negroris ba'aretz, it's schlepping on the ground. Both of those cases, if you were to fill up the airspace, no good. It's mechsek boina, oser on Shabbos. However, where it is hanging from the doorpost with, let's say, from the lintel, and it's kevoyim min ha'aretz, and it's not schlepping on the ground, then it becomes nicker, it becomes discernible that this, in fact, is the door for this entranceway, and you would be able to go and squeeze it in on Shabbos. We had a similar type of setup back in Masechet Shabbos, and earlier on in our Masechet Erevin, the Gabe shutters of a window. If you have shutters of a window which are just dragging on the floor, not attached at all, then it's Merse Keboina. When you go and push those shutters into the hollow space, which they used to call windows, then that could be that it looks like a boina on Shabbos. And then remember, the Gemara talked about what happens if it was attached to the wall, whether it was hanging, whether it was hovering in mid-air. Similar types of concerns like we have in our Mishnah. Frank the Gemara, or many, I have a stira from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Delis anigreris. Oh, you have such a door which is schlepping on the floor. Machtelis anigreris. Machtelis, like we had in our Mishnah, machtelis is a mat of reeds. V'kan kan hanigra. Kan kan hanigra, Rashi says this is also the handle which is used for a plow, but apparently this can also be used to go and fill up an airspace. It is man shikshun utluyin, as long as they are tied and they are hanging, noyalim ben b'Shabbos, you can use them for Shabbos. Yontif for sure, because Yontif is more kulidic than Shabbos. But notice the Braisa says, as long as they are kshurim utluyin, noyalim ben. But we learn pshat in our Mishnah that that's not enough. If it's nigreris on the ground, you cannot fill up the airspace. It's only if they're gvoyim min ha'aretz. The Braisa didn't mention anything about gvoyim min ha'aretz. So apparently they were nigrerim on the ground. And nevertheless, it says in the alin ben b'Shabbos. So Avestira, our Mishnah says that if it's nigreris, ain't the alin ben b'Shabbos. But the Braisa says if it's nigreris, the alin ben b'Shabbos. So Amar Abaye kishiyesh lehem tzir. It's talking about that these doors have a tzir. Tzir means they have a pivot. A pivot means is not the same as our hinges that we have on the side of the doors, but they're more closely aligned with the types of doors that you would find in a major hall or into a large shul, where, for instance, you have two doors closing together. How do they close those doors? By having the bolt that goes into the lintel on top, another bolt goes into the threshold on the bottom. So those are the tzirim that we're talking about. Rava Omer b'shehoylehen tzir, even if they don't have a tzir any longer, but you can tell that it had a tzir at one time, which apparently broke off, those are sufficient. How does that help? The point is, now it no longer looks like just a board that you're using to go and stuff up a hole, and therefore potentially people could say, oh, isn't he engaging in construction? All we need now just to do is add a little bit tar and pitch and cement on the top and the bottom, and then plaster it, and boom, we got a new wall. No. Since it has that pivot on it, or it had a pivot, then Abai Barava say, it's nicker that this is a door, this is not just a stama board to fill up airspace, and therefore it's mutter on Shabbos. Traitimor Meisve. I'll ask you from another Braisa. The Braisa begins the same way as the Braisa which we just quoted. Bushtein, the Braisa, Delis Anigreris, Machzilis Anigreris, Vekankan Hanigrar, Bezmanchik Shurin, Utluyin, Ugvoyim in Aaret. Not just their kosher, but totally, but they're also, they are hovering in the air. Even a Abyssal, even a Hur. The Yalan Ben, you can go and be Noyel, you can go and push it in and close it up. Vimlav, in the Yalan Ben. So now, on the surface, this Braisa teaches the same halacha as our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said, if it's Delasani Greres, Ein Le'alim Ben, Elim Kein Gevoyim in Aretz. Well, that's in fact what we're talking about. Bizman Shikshurin Utluinu Gevoyim in Aretz. So then it's Mutter. Well, how is this Braisa different than the Mishnah? So the Mephoshim Mutchenzach as to what's the Kasha of the Gemara. The Chora, you can. It's identical to our Mishnah. So in fact, the Rabbeinu Chananel and others add an additional word that it's talking about, that the Braisa says that this Delis that we're talking about had a pivot, B'shiyesh lem tzir, or according to Rava, K'shehoy lem tzir, and nevertheless the Braisa requires that it be Tluyim and Gevoyim in Aret. It still has to be Gevoyim in Aret, even though it has that pivot. But we just said, according to Abai Barava, as long as it had the pivot, it's not necessary to be Gevoyim in Aretz, because it's nicker that this is not just a board, but rather that this happens to be a full-fledged door. So that's the Kasha of the Gemara. Why does it require both a tzir and that it's Gevoyim in Aretz? In other words, the Braisa, again, we have to insert the word of the Rabbeinu Chananel, that it's talking about that it was Bizman Kishurin, Utluyin, Ugvoyim in Aret, Vishyesh Lehen Tzir. It says Abaye, when it says Vishyesh Lehen Tzir, it means Oishyesh Lehen Tzir. Not that, in fact, it's both Gvoyim in Aret and with a Tzir, but rather that the Braisa is telling us, if you want to be able to go and put this door into the doorway, there are two ways of doing it. Either make sure it looks like a door, that it has a tzir, or make sure that it's hanging from the lintel from the house, and that it's gvoyim in aretz, it's not schlepping on the ground, but in fact, after you hang it up, it's hovering in midair. Then we see it's a proper door, and then you can use it on Shabbos. And Rava says the same teretz, Rav Matas Tami, kishehoyim en tzir, oishi gvoyim in aretz. So therefore, even if the Braisa has this Lashon, that's Tzir, and Gevoyim in Aretz, don't interpret it to mean it has to have both requirements. It's rather one or the other. As long as this Telus either has a Tzir or it's Gevoyim in Aretz, that's sufficient to be able to go and use it on Shabbos to close up the doorway in your Rechava, in your storage house, back in your shed, in the back of your property. Okay, we have a braisa now. Tana Rabban. Soiche koitzim. Soichim are branches of a tree. Koitzim, which are full of thorns. In other words, branches of a thorn bush. V'chavilim. Chavilim are peklach, bundled. Sheskinon lepirtza shebechotzer. The reason why you have these trees, or you have these chavilois, is that you've put them together because you want to go and fill up an ear space in your chotzer. In other words, virtually identical to the case of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a rechava. That's one of these long-term storage bins outside and back of your house. Here he wants to close up a pirtz in the chatzir. Bizman shekshurin utluyin ne'alin behen b'shabbos. As long as they're kosher, if they are tied, utluyim, and they're hanging. And you have to add that they are gevoyim min ha'oretz, that they are hovering in mid-air. They're not schlepping on the ground. And you can go and use them to fill up the pirtza on Shabbos. Yontif, for sure. Tani Rabchia, another brice. Delis almana. That's a very strange term. And almana, of course, means a widow. So what it means, a door which is a widow. So Rashi says, the door which is a widow means that it doesn't have any of the additional attachments that you would normally expect to find on a door. doesn't have hinges, it doesn't have a lock, it doesn't have a key, it doesn't have this. It looks like one big, big board. As we'll see in the Gemara, the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment a little bit more of a graphic description of this widowed door. Hanigreres, which is schlepping, and the alibar, then you cannot use that for filling up the airspace because it looks like you're putting a piece of sheetrock and closing up the space as opposed to a door. Can you give me a little bit more specifications? What constitutes a widowed door? Ikri amri dechad shipa. Vosmein dechad shipa. Rashi says that normally the doors in those days were made out of two boards attached together. I assume that they smashed them together and they probably added some plaster or some other type of adhesive to keep the two together to make it thicker. And here it's only one board and not two boards. So that's one view. They can be the lesle gashmor. Gishma, Rashi says, gishma means brichim hamachabrim oisa. Normally to keep the boards together and make it into a door, it had to have brichim. Brichim means cross beams. This didn't have a cross beam. So it didn't look like a door. It just looked like a board. Oh, if it's just like a board, then ain the alimba, because it looks almost like a piece of sheetrock that you're using to go and close up a space, as opposed to locking a door or closing an entranceway. Okay, Nushtikal, Omar of Yehuda, since we spoke about the inyan of potential appearance of boina b'shabbes, the Gemara goes off a little bit on a tangent to talk about other types of pseudo binyanim, that it looks like a binyan. None of these are osim min ha-toira, it's all osim midrabanan, because it has the appearance as if you're making some sort of building. So Omar of Yehuda, hay midurta, you're now putting together a bonfire. You wouldn't do this on Shabbos, but you're doing it on Yom Tov because you want to go and cook, etc. So you're making a bonfire. So how do you make a bonfire? For those of you that were ever in camp, you know, you start off with the logs down below, and then you keep on going higher and higher, almost like into the shape of a teepee, where you put on top of that then smaller logs and twigs and all the rest, and you build a ganze bonfire, and then eventually when all the kids come, you light it and tell everybody stay back, and then you try to roast your kosher marshmallows and what have you. Anyway, so hay medurat, if you're making such a medura on Yom Tov, mimala lamata shori, mimata lamala osir. If you're building it the way you normally would, by starting with the logs down below, and then putting on all types of branches and twigs and logs as you go higher and higher, then it looks like you're building something, even though it's a very temporary building because you're going to go and burn it shortly. But even that is awesome midraban. So what do you have to do? You have to do it backwards. You do it upside down. First go and bring the logs which are higher, and then put down the lower ones, till the ground. You're going to say to yourself, how do you do that? I mean, if you're holding it, then isn't it going to just plot? I mean, you can't just put it in mid-air and say, you stay there. So Rashi says you have a chaver. You have to have two people or three people doing it together. One person brings the big logs and he's holding it high up, and then the next guy is holding something below it, and somebody below that, until you get down to the ground. So you go.
So it should look like your building.
It should not look like your building. Exactly.
More than a chaver, you need a couple.
Yeah, it depends on how large the bonfire is.
A crew.
Yeah. You could have theoretically 100 people. Yeah.
And you can't hire them much else.
Yeah, exactly. You have to work it out in advance.
Couldn't you just put the smaller stuff first and then put on top and then the bigger ones on top?
Because that looks like building automatically. That's the whole point.
It's an inverse pyramid now.
As long as you're building downwards, you're fine. If you're building upwards, it looks like you're building.
I see.
Okay. Friends, if you want to go and build a building here on Weston Avenue, would you go and build the 10th floor first and then go down to the ground? Of course not. You start down and you go up. So,
but you wouldn't build on shops.
Yeah, of course not. Exactly. Mechain Beyasa, even if you want to go and roast an egg or eggs on a griddle, Rashi uses the term griddle, what you should do is first have someone hold the eggs up, and then somebody should put the griddle underneath. Look, if you look at the Rashi, the last line before the wide line, Rashi b'chein b'yosa, l'sader ha-beitzim ha-lebeim ha-le-gecholim, that you want to go and put together the eggs on the roasting coals, al-kli barzul shekoyin griddle, oy al-gabe shnei eitzim, you put two logs together, shemakiv and zeitzel zeh, tzorech lechoiz beim b'yodoy al-ho-or, for somebody should be holding on to the eggs up above the fire, the chaveira, and the chaver comes and yitano eitzim tachteim, and then he inserts the griddle or the pieces of wood underneath the eggs. Because if you do it putting the wood first and then the eggs on top, it looks like you're building something on Yontif. V'chein kidra, if you're taking a pot or a pan and you want to go and cook in it. Nowadays, of course, we all have stoves, but in the good old days, the way they used to go and cook sometimes, Rashi says they would take two chovios, two barrels, put them together, have a space between the two barrels, and then lean on top of that your pot or your pan, and there'd be some sort of fuel element underneath. Be careful not to go and burn the barrels. But the point is, putting that kedera on top of the chovios, what you should do is first have the person hold the kedera in mid-air, then somebody else put the two chovios in together underneath the kedera, and then put it down. V'chein Purim, the same thing is when you're constructing one of these portable beds on Shabbos. Same thing, don't go and put the bedpost down first and then the covers on top, but first hold the covers and then bring the bedpost. V'chein Chavita. Chavita is a very simple case. You're trying to go and put together your barrels in your wine cellar, for instance, and you want to go and put on multiple barrels, one on top of the other, because it's a small wine cellar, so you're putting one barrel on the second, top of the third, and like one on top of the other, you're stacking them. So when you're stacking them, once again, the person who's stacking them, first he has to have someone hold the second level chavis in mid-air, and somebody else put in a chavis underneath it to hold it up. All of that to avoid potential problems of mechsei kibinyan. We go off on a tangent just for a short moment. We said at the top of the omit, chadokim shebepirt. So the word chadokim means thorns. In other words, branches or pieces of wood that have thorns on them that we use to go and close up the entranceway to the rechava, to that backyard place that you use for long-term storage. So now the Gemara says, omalei haut tzedoiki lebshu ben Chananya. This tzedoiki, who is obviously a bad guy, on the side there's another girsa, mina. Min would mean from the early Christians, because min is typically referred to as me anshe or me talmide yeshu natsri. Anyway, they would engage Rabbi Shu ben Chananya in debates, and in fact we find Rabbi Shu ben Chananya throughout Shas as being a very, very, not just one of the greatest Tanoim, because Tam Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah is Rabbi Shu ben Chananya, so not only was one of the greatest Torah scholars, but also he was very, very well adept in being able to debate and dispute the tzedokim and the minim, to be able to show our Torah is true, and what they're saying is what we call today fake news. Anyway, so this tzedoki is now attacking Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya, and he says, Chadko means you thorny one, you individual full of thorns. Now you're wondering why I'm calling you thorny one, because I, the tzedoki, I know the Bible. It says about you, you righteous one, Toivam kachedek. Where is this pasuk, Toivam kachedek? It's a pasuk in Micha. Toivam means even the good ones among you are kachedek, are like thorns. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya, you're certainly among the good ones of Klal Yisrael. You're a thorn, so I'm calling you a thorn. Amalei, Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya answered him, Shatya, you shoita, you imbecile. Shvil, the safe of the crowd. Look at the end of the pasuk. Don't just quote the first two words. The chassid says in the pasuk, Vaiter, Yoshar mimsucha. What means Yoshar mimsucha? Yoshar means the Yesharim, the righteous ones. Mimsucha is from a like a Lashon sukkah, that we go and cover and shelter Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says the Gemara, as the Gemara was going to explain, Ve'ela mai toivam kechedek. So why does the pasuk begin saying about them that the good ones are like thorns? Kishem shchadokim halolim meginim ala pirtza. Just like we had in our mission out of Gemara, that if you have an open space which you want to go and close up, people often will use thorn bushes or thorn boards, etc., or bundles of thorns to go and close up the airspace. Kach toivim shebanu, the good ones among us, the righteous one among Klal Yisrael, meginim aleinu, they go and protect us. And so therefore, this term, toivim kachedek, is meant in a very positive way, not the way you're using it, Mr. Apikoiris, Mr. Min. The word chedek, since it has a ches, as you know, the oisius hey and ches are often mischalef because they're very, very similar. So take the word chedek and read it, shemahadkin es rishoyim. Shemahadkin means to go and crush or to mash the rishoyim, the bad guys, legehenim. Shenem, like it says in the pasuk, kumi v'doishi bas tzion, get up, v'doishi, and thresh you, Klal Yisrael, ki karnech osim barzel, because I'm going to make your keren, means like your, it literally means horns, but it really means like your crown, osim barzel, I'm going to make it out of iron, uparsesayich osim nechusha, I'm going to make out of copper or brass, vidikua, and as a result, vadikois, and then you'll be able to go, vadikois, you'll be able to go and trample upon and crush Amim Rabim, the other nations which are not following in the ways of Hashem. So, bottom line is, the word kechedek either means thorns that they megin ala pirtza, or it's hadoik, to go and crush the bad guys. On to the next mission. Look to Mishnah Baita. Lo yamid odem rishase yochad v'yiftach rishase rab. You'll recall that we've already made reference to this Mishnah a couple of times earlier, because we had earlier Mishnayos which dealt with similar situations, and the question was whether it was Reb Meir or the Rabbanon. So now we have a machloikis. A person is standing in the rishase yochad, and he wants to open up a door in the rishase rab. And the key is in the rishase rab. So all he has to do is pick up the key in the rishase rab, put it into the lock and open up the door. Now, on the surface, there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm standing in Shusiyachat, and I'm just picking up the key, putting in the lock, and finished, and leaving it there, or putting it down on the ground, back in the Shusiram. The concern of our Mishnah is that Reb Meir is afraid that the person will forgetfully go and take the key and then put it in his pocket. He'll take it with him. Because, I mean, that's what you typically do, right? You, when you open up a door and you have your key and you open it, so what do you do with the key? Don't just go and throw it away. You go normally and take it with you. You put it in your pocket, you hold it in your hand. So that's what the concern is, according to Reb Meir. Don't stand Rishus Yochad, be if the Rishus Rabim, and open up the door to Rishus Rabim, or don't stand Rishus Rabim, be if the Rishus Yochad. Why? Because I'm afraid he's going to go and be Moitzi, he's going to take the Mafteach, the key, and be Moitzi, Mirishus, Lirishus. Elim came, but I have an Eitzah. Rashi says the Eitzah is referring to case number 2 in the Mishnah, meaning that he's standing in the Rishus Rabim and he wants to open up the gate or the door in the Shusha Yachid, and came awesome machitza gvoya sarat vachim, where he's standing in the Shusha Rabin, build a small structure, obviously not on Shabbos, but build a structure before Shabbos in the Shusha Rabin. Obviously, you'll need permission from the board, zoning regulations, but go and build up some sort of small machitza there, machitza not small, machitza basarat vachim, with an enclosure, so that you're going to be standing in Rosh Hashanah when you're opening up the door to Rosh Hashanah. So you don't have to worry. Worst comes to worst, if you're going to take the key from the Rosh Hashanah and you bring it to yourself, you're also standing in Rosh Hashanah. Divrei Reb Meir. So bottom line is, Reb Meir is concerned about, you'll forgetfully take the key and be mavir mirishus lirishus. Amar Lo, the Chacham said, we are not concerned. And in fact, we'll tell you ma'asa b'shuk shel pitamim shayu b'Yerushalayim. We're talking about the market of pitamim. Rashi says katsovim. This was the meat market where the butchers would go and sell the meats.
Isn't pitam like pitam
haktoris? Pitam haktoris is similar to the same thing. Or the you have mafatim by animals, and mafatim there typically means that you try to fatten them up, yeah, by going in. So therefore you see the word mafatim means to go and fatten them up, to be able to after that shech them and get a better price, because people would pay more for, number one, 50 pounds is more than 40 pounds, and number two, if you fatten them up, then you get a little fat, and then you can make schmaltz, and people in the good old days were not so concerned about cholesterol and things of that nature. So you'd get a pretty penny. The reason why pitam haktoris is also called mafatim is because there too you are adding and mixing ingredients to be able to get a nice incense. So here you're also being mafatim, you are stuffing the animal and putting in more ingredients, giving him more grass and more cattle fodder. And here by the ktoiris, you're also adding more ingredients to make it that much more fragrant in accordance with the requirements of the Torah. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so you're talking about this marketplace where they were selling the meat. And from time to time,
it wasn't
awesome.
It was Pinchas.
Okay, Pinchas.
Let me show you.
Shvatim
is Mavazim also. Ben Puti, Shapitim Avia Imo,
and who was that?
Was that
Yisrael?
Oh, that was Yisrael.
Okay. Exactly. No, that's okay. What you said.
Right. Okay, so
you are right after all. Good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, from time to time they would leave their stores, they would get a little bit of fresh air, they probably wanted to tell passers-by, why don't you come in, we have delicious roast beef, you can come in, pastrami, all different types of wonderful stuff. So they would from time to time leave their stores, Shein the Alan, and when they would go and lock it up or close it up, Menichas HaMafteach, and they would go and put their key, Bachaloin, on top of the window, Shal Gabi HaPesach, on top of the opening. Now this is not talking on Shabbos, because why would they on Shabbos be in their stores? So it took Menon Yom Tov, that people wanted to go and get fresh meat to go and cook it, and to be able to have a nice Seuda. Remember the good old days, they didn't have refrigerators and freezers, so if you had meat from yesterday, it might spoil a day later, if it was particularly during the winter month, during the summer months, etc. Okay, so anyway, so they would take the Mafteach, they put B'chaloin Shel Gabi HaPesach, and even though they were talking about a situation with Rosh Hashanah and Shasa Yochid, they were not concerned about what Remeir was concerned about, that they might forgetfully put the key in their pockets and start being moitzim reshus reshus. No. They were very careful about this whole thing, and they put the maftech where they were supposed to without any difficulty. Rabbi Yossi, Oyma Shuk Schultz. Yes, Barry.
If it was Yontif, what's the problem with carrying?
They were carrying, moitzim reshus reshus. Ah, good point. So perhaps the answer is that we're concerned that you're going to carry for no reason. Even on Yontif, you're not allowed to go and carry Stamazoi. You have to have a good reason to carry. Stamazoi to carry, you're not allowed to. So for instance, if you on Yontif went to Shul and you brought your Machzer or your Talis, you need that in Shul, that's no problem. But to go and take it home, that already becomes problematic if you're not going to go and use it at home and you're not going to use the Machzer or the Talis. So you can only go and carry if it's an absolute Tzoyrich. So perhaps this was not considered a Tzoyrich. You have a good point. We have to think about that. But the principle over here is that we're trying to... It could theoretically be that on Shabbos they were taking meat out of the... Why would they have meat on Shabbos? After all, it's probably raw meat. It's more likely it's talking about in Yom Tov. So we have to think about that. But at least the principle is what we were talking about, that they were not concerned about being moitzi from one rishus to the other rishus.
Maybe it was pickled corned beef, or
it was already prepared from before Shabbos, and right. It was nicely salted, so it's going to remain fresh even 2 days later.
Corned beef, pastrami.
Or maybe hard salami.
Right.
Could be. Anyway, they were not concerned. The Gemara continues on. Rabbi Yossi, Oimer Shuk Shel Tzamorim Hava. Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue with all the details except for one, an apparent irrelevant detail, and he's saying is that this shuk was not of the meat butchers, but rather it was Shel Tzamorim Moichrei Tzemer, those that used to go and sell wool. So it was a different type of a market, not a meat market, but a wool market. But otherwise, he agrees with the full description that we had in our Mishnah. Anyway, what do we see from this? The Rabbanon argue with Remeir. Now, the Gemara says, or the Mishnah said, that the Rabbanon's argument was based on a Maisa in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Yerushalayim did not have the status of a Rishus HaRabim. Yerushalayim had the status of a Carmelis. Why did the Rabbanon arguing with Remeir? Remeir says that if you're standing with Shisarabim, make sure you don't go and open up a door which is in a Shisayachid. Or vice versa, you're standing with Shisayachid, don't open a door Shisarabim because you might go and take the key over from one Rishus to the other Rishus. But they're Mahadru Inu Carmelis. They're talking about a case of a Carmelis. Now, why is Yerushalayim considered to be a Carmelis? The Amar B'Bchana Amar B'Yochanan Yerushalayim Il Moli Dal Tzesen in Olis Balayla. If it wasn't for the fact that Yerushalayim has gates and doors that they close at night, by closing them at night, it has now four walls from all sides. Chayav Nalem Yishem Yerushalayim. It would have a status of Yerushalayim. But because of the fact that they have these doors, it does not have the status of Shusaram. It doesn't have the status of Shusayachit, because it doesn't belong to any individual. So what status does it have? It has the status of a Carmelis. If you look at the first Rashi, right after the Mishnah, Mahadlu Inu Karmelis Bitmiya, to Yushalayim Kula Karmelisi, she Kula Kechotisho Rabim, Shlo Irvu, the Hoyle Vital to send, and all this Balaylim Arvin is Kula. You can make an Erev throughout the whole Yushalayim because it's all one large Chotisho Rabim. Says the status of a Karmelis. So therefore, Frekti Gemara, it could very well be that Rameir would agree if you're talking about Yerushalayim, which has the status of a karmelis. Because worst comes to worst, what might happen? I might go and take the key from the store and take it and put it in my pocket. Fine, the store is Rosh Hashanah and I'm a karmelis. So Rosh Hashanah, the karmelis, is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Or from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah, an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's not an Issa D'Araisa. When would the Chachamim go there according to Reb Meir? Don't go and stand in one rishus and open up the door in the other rishus, because it might be ma'avir amoitzi, the key from one rishus, diaraisa, to another rishus, diaraisa. Rishus Ram to rishus Yoch, rishus Yoch, rishus Ram. Be oivin isser diaraisa, chas shalom. But the whole thing over here is a karmel is, if he's oivin the isser, okay, it's taka osir. But that would be like a gzera le gzera. That I'm standing in a karmelis, opening up the door in the Rishus Rabim, or in the Rishus Yachid. Uh-oh, what happens if I take the key over? Don't do it! Don't allow him to go and open doors from one Rishus to another Rishus. Why? Because he might be over at Drabanim. So you're making a Zayr Drabanim because he might be over at Drabanim. It's a Gzeir le Gzeir, Zok Drashi. And that's the gosh, why the Rabbanan arguing a case of Yerushalayim, which is a karmelis. And the Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one is, Omer Papa kan koinim shenifritzu ba process, kan le'ach shenifritzu ba process. Although it's taka true that there are walls around Yerushalayim together with doors which were locked at night, that was in the good old days. In later years, unfortunately, as a result of perhaps milchomois, wars and battles, or perhaps because of natural causes, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings storms and tornadoes and earthquakes and whatever, eventually were protzeis, there were holes in the wall. And the holes, says Rabbeinu Chananel, were more than 10 amos wide. Once you have a pirtz which is more than 10 amos wide, it's as if there's no wall at all. Once there's no wall at all, then guess what? It's no longer a walled city, it is now an unwalled city, and it reverts to the Rishus Rabim that it was originally. So our Mishnah is talking about Li'acha Shenifurtzu Ba'Pratzais. After Nebuchad had holes in the wall, it now reverted to a Rishus Rabim, and therefore they're talking on the same turf. Ramei was talking about Rishus Rabim, Rishus Yachid, and the Chacham of our Mishnah is also talking about modern day Yerushalayim after the Protzois, where unfortunately it's again the same Rishus Rab, Rishus Yochid situation, and that the Rabbi Bachana said, Neymar B'Yochan on Yerushalayim and Molid Al Tisea, is talking about Koidim Shenifritzu Protzois before those holes. Rabbi Omar. Yes.
Yeah, why was considered a Karmelis before the Pritza? It should have been continuing to be a Rishus Yochid. If they had doors, they closed by night or they opened by day,
can't make it there.
You said they didn't.
They did or they did not?
They did not.
Okay. Okay, good. Shkoyach. Probably the article is probably based on this Rashi. Right? Okay, so let's take another look at the Rashi again, Robert. I thank you for raising the issue. Rashi, right after the Mishnah, Umahadule Inut Karmelis, Bitnia, to Yushalayim Kula Karmelisi. Why? She Kula Kichotzer Sharab. It's like one large chotzer. Shloi irvu, because they didn't make an eruv. To hoyu v'dal tisea, and in olis palayla, ma'arvin is kula, you would be entitled to make an eruv, but they didn't make an eruv. Since they didn't make an eruv, it's like one large chotzer. Chotzer belonging to many rabbim. Not five people around the chotzer, but perhaps 600,000 people around the chotzer. In other words, a very large chotzer. But Lamaisa, it doesn't have a Rishus Rabim because there are four walls around it from all four sides. It's not Rishus Yochid because it belongs to many, many different people. So it gets that middle status of a Karmelis. And even though it happens to be more than a base Sasayim, but nevertheless, it has the walls, and these walls are Mukha Fadira. So if you had made an Erev, you'd be able to go and carry, but they didn't make an Erev. So it's not Rishus Rabim, not Rishus Yochid, and it becomes a Karmelis. So that was teretz number one of Rapapa, that historical differences in this wall, originally it was a Karmelis, but since the wall became partially demolished, and now has the status once again of a shusarat. Rav Amar Seifa Son Lishari Gina Vachikamar. What basically Rav is saying is what we would typically find in the Gemara, that we have to add one or two lines of script to our Mishnah. The Mishnah only said on the surface that you're now let us stand Rishas Yachid and open Rishas Rab, Rishas Rab and open Rishas Yachid. But now we have to add Sharigina. Sharigina means if we're not talking about a person's house to the Rishas Rabim, for instance, he's standing Rishas Rabim and he wants to open the door to his house. So he's standing Rishas Rabim and his house is Rishas Yachid. But we're talking about that you want to open up a Shar, a gate to a Gina. Gina means to a garden. And Rashi says on the last line, Gina also has the status of a Carmelis. Okay, so now we're going to add one or two lines to our Mishnah. V'achikama, V'chein, says Rameir, not only don't stand Rishas Rabim and open to Rishas Yochid, but even Layam Rishas Yochid v'yiftar v'karmelis, or v'karmelis yiftar Rishas Yochid. Notice these words don't appear anywhere in the Mishnah, but this is what Rav is inserting in the Mishnah. Ella, onto the Yom Beis, Elim Kain Osa Mechitza Gvoya Asura Tzvachim, like we had in the Mishnah, if you make a Mechitza, then you convert where you're standing from a Rishus Rabim or from a Carmelis into a Rishus Yochid by making Mechitzas Arum and Arum 10 Tzvachim tall, Divrame. On that second part of Rameya that he added about the Carmelis, and therefore, just like Rameir spoke about Carmelis, the Chachomer are only arguing in the Carmelis case, the Taka not arguing in the case of the Rishus Rab and Rishus Yochid. And the Pasha, the difference, like we said before, Rishus Rab and Rishus Yochid, the Chachom were goyzer. So you shouldn't come to be Oivan Issa Diraisa, being Moitzim Rishus Rab and Rishus Yochid. But talking about Rishus Rab to a Carmelis, that we are not so concerned to make a Gzeira, because worse comes to worse, you'll be Oivan Issa Dirabanan, you won't be Oivan Issa Diraisa. The Chum therefore didn't make a Gzeira the Gzeira. Okay, we're starting a Braisa now, Tanur Rabanan. The Braisa goes on quite a lengthy Braisa, past halfway down. And based on that Braisa, we're going to ask a couple of questions, and we're going to come up with three klolim. We're going to learn three halachas from the Braisa. And we're also going to see that Rameir is going to have a change of heart halfway into this Braisa, legabi the case of the Carmelis. We'll see shortly. Tana Rabban. Pischei shar egina. Bizman sheyesh lehen beis shar mibefnim, peisech menoyul bimefnim. Mibachutz, peisech menoyul bimachutz. Mikan umikan, peisech menoyul. Kan vekan. Ein lehen loikan veloikan, asurin kan vekan. What is this all about? Again, you have Pischei Shar Egina. Egina, of course, is a garden. This garden is right next to the Rishus Rab. Could be a garden like in front of your house, like a front lawn. So, what's the status of the Egina? Rashi said in Amud Aleph, it has the status of a Carmelis. You are in the Rishus Rab. You cannot just walk into this garden because it has a gate around it. So you want to open up the gate, the Sha'arim, the gates. Good. So how can you do that? Well, according to Rameir, you got a big concern. And as we'll see in the Braisa, halfway down, it says, Divi Rameir, Rameir is speaking. So Rameir says, I am Noivis Rabbi Yisai. If I'm standing outside Rosh Hashanah and putting my key into this lock of the Sha'arim of the Gina, since that has the status of a Carmelis, and I'm standing in Rishus Rabim, what happens if afterwards I take the key with me in the Rishus Rabim, I'm going to be carrying, I'll be Moitzim Rishus Rishus. Even if I put it down Rishus Rabim, I'm not going to carry it for Amis, but I'm taking it from the Carmelis to Rishus Rabim. So that's a problem. So you know what you can do? If you have a Beis Shar means a gatehouse, which itself has the dimensions of Rishus Yachid. The gatehouse would normally be occupied by a shomer, by someone who's watching over the gate. So you could have this type of gatehouse in front of the gate, in other words, standing in the Rishus Rabim, or you could have it standing in the Rishus Yachid, meaning that Rishus Yachid standing in the Gina next to the lock. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that the locks itself were not like our locks today, which are embedded in the door or in the gate, but rather these locks were protruding from the door, and it was a whole box of 4x4, and it was standing higher than 10 tvachim from the ground. And the art scroll again has a picture of what this lak looks like. A ganze box in front of the door, right?
Right.
Yeah, yours is a little bit dark, and these are a little bit lighter. It's easier to see if you want to see it.
It protrudes from the door.
It protrudes from the door. You can see that much better. See? So it's a nice large picture. You have a big box which is sticking out. Oh, well, what can I tell you? Anyway, so you have this big box sticking out, protruding from the door, which was 4x4. It was 10 from the ground, using gurach, achis, or gurachic principles. It had the status of shusha yachid. Aha. So, once again, if I'm standing in the shusha rabim and I'm opening it up, I have a potential shusha rabim, shusha yachid issue. If I'm standing in the gina and I open it up, I have a potential karmelis to the Rishus HaYochid issue. Again, because the lak has the status of Rishus HaYochid. So what I'm going to do now is insert a Rishus HaYochid in either the Rishus HaRabim, or I'm going to stand as I open up the lak, or I'm going to insert a Rishus HaYochid in the karmelis as I open up the Shara Gina. Again, I'll have a Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid. How do I insert a Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim or into the Gina? That's what we call the Beis Shar. The Beis Shar, this gatehouse, has the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid. It itself is more than 4x4 and by 10 tall. Obviously much, much larger than that small box which we call the Lak. And so therefore, says the Gemara, you have the Pischei Shari Gina. You want to be able to open it on Shabbos or on Yontif. Bizman Shiyeshlen. Okay, Barry's going to say Yontif, you don't have a problem of carrying. It's Bizman Shiyeshlen Beishar Bibifnim. If you have a gatehouse inside, meaning in the Gina, in the Karmelis, so you don't have a problem. Stand inside the gatehouse with your key, open up the box, which we call the manel, which we call the lak. No problem, it's Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid. So even if I forget and I keep the key, big deal, Rishus HaYochid, no issue. Or if you have the gatehouse mibachutz, you have that same Beishar outside the Gina, meaning in the Rishus HaRabim, once again, stand in it and be poisech v'noyel mibachutz. Again, no problem, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid. Mikan u'mikan, if I have two gatehouses, in other words, the gatehouse extends on both sides of the gate, fine, you can go and open up the gate and this box either from the inside or from the outside, because both sides are Rishus HaYochid. What happens? There is no gatehouse around this gate. Asurin kan v'kan, then you're not allowed to open up the gate from either side, because the Rishus HaRabim is Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, and from the Gina side it's a Karmelis to Rishus HaYochid. That, according to a Meir Bar Mishnah, both of them are Asur. V'chein. And the same thing applies. And now we're going to change channels a little bit from Shari Gina. We're going to talk about Chanoyos. Chanoyos are stores. Hapsuch L'Shus Ram, which are open to Shusram. Bezman Shamanul L'mata Mi'asara. Here, when it came to the store, sometimes they had locks which are lower, and sometimes they had locks which were higher up on the door. So if they are lower down on the door, lemata me'asara, so now it's within a Rishus HaRabim. And again, this manel was a large manel of 4x4, so it itself was a Rishus HaYochid. Maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos, or bring the mafteach from before Shabbos. U'meneichu be'skupan, you can even leave it on the floor. Lemochar, and the next day, b'skupa means the floor of the threshold, and this threshold itself, the Gemara is going to say a little later, had a status of a karmelis. Lemochar, the next day, paisech v'noy lemachzir l'skupa. You can go and take out the key from the skupa, from the karmelis down below, and put it into the lock, and open it up, and then put it back on the iskupa. No problem. Now, l'choy, I should have a problem, because I'm carrying, I have the potential of carrying from the iskupa, which is the karmelis. The act of picking it up and putting it into lock is not the issue. The problem is that afterwards I'm going to forget and I'm going to continue carrying it in the karmelis. So I'm going to go and take it out from the lock. Remember, the lock has a status of a Rishus HaYochid because it's 4x4 and 10. However, the iskupa is on the floor, and so I'm afraid that I might go and take it from one Rishus to the other Rishus. Here, however, I'm not Goyzer. No, so I said that the lock has the status of a Rishus Yochid. Here Rashi says because it's lower down than the 10 Tfachim, so therefore the lock would not have the status of Rishus Yochid. It only has the status of Rishus Yochid because the box itself is 4x4 and it's elevated 10 from the ground, so then I have Rishus Yochid. So the scoop, in fact, that it didn't have a karmelis. So if it didn't have a karmelis, I don't have an issue whatsoever, because the box is a karmelis, it's lower than 10 tefachim. The scoop is on the floor, is a karmelis, karmelis to karmelis. Maybe maftech, maybe shabbos, minichim, scoop, lemachim, b'seich, manu, b'slash, scoopa. No problem whatsoever, that's perfect. Ubizman sheman lemalam yasar. However, if the lock is higher than 10, oh, now it has the status of that Rishus Yochid that we spoke about. Maybe Maftech Me'erev Shabbos Menichoi B'manul. Don't leave the key on the floor, because you leave the key on the floor, you know what's going to happen? That's a karmelis, and therefore you're going to pick it up, put it into the lock. Afterwards, you're going to take it out and put it back on the karmelis. Oh, you're going to put it back on the karmelis. You've taken it from the Rishus Yochid, because the manul, the lock, is now higher than 10 tvachim from the ground. It's its own Rishus Yochid, 4x4x10. And you're going to take the maftech and you're going to put it down. No, don't do that. Rather, leave it up there on the model. Either put it on top of the model, in the model. Don't put it down on the floor. The mocha the next day, what you can do is, you can go and open it up, close it up, put it back on the mokoim. Everything is fine. So now, this person is standing on the iskupa. He's careful to go and take the key, put it into the model, leave it on top of the model, take it down from on top of the model, put it in the model, put it back on top. What is he doing? What he's doing is, everything involves the Rishus HaYochid. He's taking the key from on top of the Rishus HaYochid, of top of the box, top of the of this lock, putting it into the lock, taking it out, putting it back on top. There is no problem. Except that Remeir l'shitosai, since this person is standing in a karmelis, he should be noivis about the fact that the person absent-mindedly is going to take that key and not put it back on top of the model. Like the Brisa says, umachzir lam koimoi, he puts it on the model. He might go and take it with him. So according to Remeir, the Choyra have a problem that you might be moitzim rishus l'rishus, from the Rishus HaYochid of this manul into the karmelis where he's standing. And Reb Meir says, I'm not worried, it's fine. So the Gemara is going to go and tell us a little bit further down that we see from this second part of the Braisa that Reb Meir changed his mind in our Mishnah the way we amended it according to Rava. And the first part of the Braisa, which we spoke about, the Shari Gina, we said, be careful, Gina is a karmelis. Don't open the door to the Rishus HaYochid by using the key if you're standing in the karmelis, because you might take the key and hold it and carry it with you, and you're going to take it from Rishus to Rishus. Here he's not concerned, even though he's standing in the karmelis, and the box and the lock is a Rishus HaYochid. Reb Meir says, I'm not concerned that he might take the key with him, and therefore we see from this that Reb Meir changed his mind. And that's what the Gemara is going to bring us as we go further down on the Amud. So until now we spoke about even if the lock is above 10 tefachim, and therefore it's a Rishus HaYochid. Maybe you can put it down on the iskupa, on the iskupa lechatchila, which is a karmelis. The next day, you can go and open and close and put it back on its place on the iskupa down below. Or you put it on the chaloin, which is on top of the opening. However, if the chaloin has 4x4, it's aser neshuku moitzi mirishus lirishus. Good. So now, what did the Chacham say? The Chacham said that you could be standing on the karmelis, on the eskupa, and taking the key from the eskupa and putting it into the model lemala miasar tvachim. Now, lechoyer, that's a big problem. Reb Meir permitted you to go and take the key from the eskupa, from the karmelis, and put it into the lock when the lock was lemata miasar tvachim. So both the manul was lower than 10 tefachim, was 4x4, and let's say 9 tefachim from the ground, that had a status of a karmelis. The key was in the skupa. Karmelis to Karmelis is fine. That's when the manel is lamata. But here the Chama talk about the manel is lamalame asar tzvachim. How can you go and take the key which is on the skupa, which is on the Karmelis, and put it into the lock, into the shusay yachid? L'choyra, I have a big, big issue. The Gemara is going to ask that in a moment. Here we're not talking about a gzeira. Here we're talking about mamish being moitzi, the key which you put on from Erev Shabbos on the skupa, on the threshold, which was a Karmelis. You're putting it into the lock, which is Rishusi Yochid, because it's 4 by 4 by 10. How can you do that? The Gemara is going to ask momentarily. So, Gemara. V'chein chano yois, midik omar. Start again, Gemara. Midik omar v'chein chano yois. Since the Brisa says, not only in the case of the Shari Gina, but also in the case of Chanoyis, Mechlal, Tibis Kupas, Karmelis Askina. It must be talking about that the Iskupa, that Shvel, that threshold, had the status of a Karmelis. Where do we see that? Because it says V'chein. Not only in the case of the Shari Gina, where the Gina is a Karmelis, but V'chein by the Chanoyis, which has the Iskupa, so the Iskupa must also be a Karmelis. So, Freytimon, Haim Manel Hechidam. What means, how do you define this model? What were the dimensions of the lock? If it wasn't 4 by 4, then it's a makom p'torah. Then it's really a makom p'torah, so we wouldn't even have all of the issues that we're discussing. All our issues that we're discussing are Rishus Ram, Rishus Yochim, the Karmelis, but not the makom p'torah. The is be'arba, if it did have 4 by 4, oyoyoy, b'halim rabbanon, af bezman shamanel, lemala meyud, maybe Mafteach Erev Shabbos Menicha be a skupa. You put down on Erev Shabbos the key on the threshold, which was a Karmelis. Lemocha the next day, Poseach V'noyel Boy, you can go and pick it up from the Karmelis, put it into the lock, which has the din of Shusi Yochid, and then afterwards the Machzir the skupa, put it down again on the floor on the threshold. How can you do that? Or the Chaloyin Shal Gabi Pesach for Kometaltel Me Karmelis Shusi Yochid. He's mamish tultel, not a chshash, he might come letaltel. He's mamish being metaltel. Therefore, says Mar Habayli Olam De'im Bayabba. It's in a chanami, it's taka talking about that the lock was not 4 by 4. If it was not 4 by 4, it's not a shisi yachid. What's the issue? What are we getting so concerned about? Oh, v'yesh by lochuk u'liashlim u'ledalad. That on top of the lock, in the very door where this lock is attached, this box, there is room where you can go and carve out and be mashlim and make the box into 4. And now Ed shows us a picture.
It's a perfect picture.
Perfect picture, but I think Mendy's picture, do you see that perfect there's a little indentation over the box?
Yeah.
Please show this to our good friend Ed.
Excuse me?
No, don't be excused.
It's better.
You see, it's a better picture, right? So anyway, we have two art scrolls and there's a machloikis of pictures. One is a little bit competing pictures. One has is a much lighter color, so it's easier to discern. But the other one is darker, which is a little bit more difficult. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the point is that on top of the lock, in this door, we could have fashioned a larger lock because there's plenty of room to be chokek to go and carve out and expand the lock. We've had this concept of chokek and lahashlam in the past. For instance, the case of a mezuzah, that you have the top of the entranceway to a doorway was in an arch form. It wasn't squared out or rectangular. It was an arch. It was like a semicircle on top. Uh-huh. And as you get closer and closer to the top, that semicircle got narrower and narrower so that you didn't have the 10 tvachim tall beams, meaning the two doorposts, and having 4 tvachim wide in between, because it kept on getting narrower. So as it got higher and higher, it was less than 4 tvachim within the original 10 tvachim height from the ground. So the Gemara said that as long as higher up on these doorposts in the lintel, you can go and carve out a little more of a shtickle to go and make it 4 tvachim wide. We had a machlokes of Meir and Rabbanan with you say choykin lahashlim. So here the Gemara uses the same type of concept, choykin lahashlim, that even though in fact this lock is taken not 4 by 4, Rabbi Meir says, but it could have been 4 by 4 because you have the ability to go and expand it by carving out a larger part of the door on top of this lock and be mashlim it to 4 by 4, so we deem it to be by 4 by 4, and therefore when you are on Shabbos, or let's talk about Yom Tov. When you're Shabbos, when you're trying to go and open or close this lock, make sure to put the key on top of the lock. Don't go put the key on the threshold, because I'm going to deem this lock as a potential Rishus Yochid. Therefore, don't carry from the threshold, which is a Carmelis, to the lock, which is a Rishus Yochid. However, the Chachamim say, we don't agree, Rabban and Sabri, ain't choikin lahashlam. I look at the lock, Basher Husham, the way it is now today. At this point, it's only less than 4x4. So, maximum has the status of a Carmelis, and therefore, I can go and take the key from the Escupa, from one Carmelis, and put it into the lock, which is another Carmelis. No problem of carrying from Carmelis to Carmelis.
The idea of Chatika 4x4,
yes,
would be a vertical 4x4, that is four high, a square within the door, as it were.
Yes, but we don't have,
as opposed to our regular Makom Ptor, which is a horizontal 4x4.
Typically 4x4 is a square, so therefore it's both horizontal and vertically the same size. Here we're talking about that the lock.
No. The 4x4 compactor that we're talking about normally is on the ground. It's an area that one could stand in, that one could put something down on.
One can enclose, correct.
But here, in the case of Emmanuel, it's a square that is on the face of the door.
Correct.
Four high, four wide.
Protruding.
Mashu thick.
Right. So that's exactly like you're saying. So now this particular lock wasn't 4x4, it was only Lamashul 3x4, meaning it was 4 wide, but it was only 3 high in terms of the vertical, the height. So we want to expand it. We have plenty of room to expand because this door allows itself to make a Chakika to go and carve out, and therefore to expand the lock and make it 4x4 altogether. I didn't do it yet, but I can. Ramea says the fact that I'm able to do it, that's already enough to deem this to be 4x4, that I should be machmir. Don't leave the key on the ground on the threshold, but rather leave the key on top of the manual, on top of the box. I shouldn't make a mistake. I shouldn't have to worry about, I shouldn't go and carry from the Carmelis down below to the potential Rishus HaYochid up above. Anyway, says this long braisa we just got finished saying, we learned class three things. Number one, Shema Mino, we see that according to the mayor, Choykin Lahashlam, that even though it doesn't have the shear now, but it has the potential, that's already we look upon the potential. Ushmamina Hodabe Rameir Misharigina. As we were learning the braisa, in the first part of the braisa, the Sharigina, Rameir said, make sure that you don't go and potentially carry from Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim into a Carmelis. By the time he got to the Chanoyas, Rameir had let down his guard, so to speak, and he said, no, even though you're careful about the key, to put the key in the model or on top of the model, and not put it on the Escupa, don't put it down on the ground, but you're allowed to stand on top of the ground of the Carmelis and open the door, even though the lock had the status of Rishus HaYochid. How can you do that? You might accidentally go and take that key and hold on to it, and you're going to go and therefore be Maver Mishus L'Rishus from the Manel to the Rishus HaYochid to the Carmelis. No, Rameir said that's okay. So we see that Rameir changed his mind. Hadabei Ramei Misharigina V'shamas Minomid Rabbanon Isil Ravdimi. From Rabbanan Shitta, we see that he holds like Rabdimi. Ve'ez Rabdimi, Tachizot Os Rabdimi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, we've had this Gemara numerous times. Malkim She'in Bei Arba Al Arba, Mutl Ben Rishus Ram, Ben Rishus Yochan, Lekatif Olav. That if you have a miniature Rishus in between Rishus Ram and Rishus Yochid, like an Omud of some sort, people can be Mekatif. Mekatif means that they kind of lean on it. Well, you can always lean on something, but it means, for instance, you go and take off your jacket or your hat or your whatever, and you put it on there temporarily, and you can leave it there, and just make sure obavad shelo yachlifu, that you shouldn't go and afterwards make a chalipin, meaning that you have one person shesaram, one person shesiyachid. He puts his jacket and hat, and he puts his jacket and hat, and then they switch, and then all of a sudden you have been moitzim rishus to rishus, from one rishus to another rishus, by using this way station in between to temporarily put your peklech there, or your jackets or whatever, and then you switch it one from the other, because now you're taking me moitzim rishus ram rishus yach rishus yach rishus ram. So that would be problematic. Oh, so why does the Gemara go and compare Rabbanan to Rav Divi? Because what the Chum is saying over here is, I am not concerned. It's mutter to stand in one rishus and to go and open the lock in the other rishus. I, maybe later on, Shem Yachlifu, maybe after that, I'm going to go and take the key from the other rishus and bring it to me, and then I'm going to be machlif, I'm taking from one rishus to another rishus. Say the Chum, I'm not goes there. So just like that Rav Dimi said, yes, both of them can go and use this Umud, this mound, this tel, whatever that was in between the Rishus Rami, Rishus Yachid, it itself was, didn't have the status of a particular Rishus, it was a Mokim She'en Bo Yarbo Al Arbo, so it would be a Mokim Ptur, both of them could be Mekatet, but be careful, Lo Yachlifu. Same thing over here, the Chum say, be careful, just like Tachlif, as long as you're careful, it's permissible to go and open the gates from one Rishus to the other Rishus, but Vachu Yachlifu, be careful. We'll stop over here. May Hashem continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Any further questions, Rabbi Isai? Yes, David.